Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Jim McGovern, tell me, how do you react to the election results? How do you explain it as a great liberal lion, as somebody who really has never backed off on anything? What do you make of that?
Well, you know, there are some elections that make my heart sing, and there are others that don't, and this falls in the latter category. But I'm trying to understand the results, and the results are complicated because, in many states that voted for Republican governors and Republican senators and congressmen, issues like the minimum wage were on the ballot, and they passed overwhelmingly. You know, in Arkansas, the minimum wage passed overwhelmingly, and yet they elected a guy to the United States Senate who is against increasing the federal minimum wage. In Massachusetts, we passed the earned sick time ballot initiative by 60% of the vote. Yet Martha Coakley, who was for the earned sick time initiative, lost by a point, and Charlie Baker, who was opposed to it, won. So, I think that we have to be careful that we don't interpret these elections as somehow a repudiation of liberal policies or of liberal ideology, because quite frankly, I think that, based on these ballot initiative results, I think the policies that, people, who share a progressive vision for this country have been advocating are very popular.
Are we into just pure personality politics? I mean, my favorite story of this is there was one poll which showed that Martha Coakley, people were angry at her because she lost the last time out to Scott Brown.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that, campaigns have become more and more about things other than issues. They've been about, character attacks or, personality issues. And I mean, even the debates, to be honest with you, I don't, maybe it's interesting to some to find out when the last time, Martha Coakley or Charlie Baker cried. But, I would have rather had a question on, what are you going to do to end hunger in Massachusetts? Or, I wasn't particularly interested in, what each other thought the other should be dressed up as for Halloween. I mean, I thought there were certainly more pressing issues out there. But we sell candidates like we sell a box of cereal. And campaigns have become less and less substantive. And I regret that very much because campaigns really should be a time, where you kind of educate the public and where there's a thoughtful discourse and a back and forth that, that should make people proud of the fact that we have this system in place here in this country. And it's unfortunately, it's kind of gone downhill.
So let's go to immigration for a moment, Jim McGovern. Is John Boehner between a rock and a hard place here?
I think he is. I mean, I think deep down inside of him, he understands that we have to fix our immigration system. But he has a Republican conference that is filled with a bunch of, xenophobes and Tea Party types that, have demagogued the issue of immigration so much that I think he's, trying to quiet them down. And I think, he's not formally Speaker of the House yet. He has to wait until January for their, for the actual vote to happen. So I think he's worried about defections or looking weak. And so, and I think he knows that in the long run, having the Republicans associated with an anti-immigration stand is not good for their, electability. But he's in a tough spot. I you could see it on his face. He looks the most unhappy I think I've ever seen him.
Has he cried?
Well, you know what? It may be in his office, but I haven't seen him publicly cry. But I remember John Boehner when you could do business with him. When I first got elected to Congress, he was the chairman of the Education and Labor Committee. You could actually work with him. But now, the Republican Party has been kind of overtaken by Tea Party types and Libertarian types that don't believe in government and latch on to issues like immigration, reform and make them into wedge issues. And, here's an issue where you got organized labor and the Chamber of Commerce are all in agreement that we ought to fix our immigration system. And
just for those Jim who are unaware, the Chamber of Commerce is just generally regarded to be to the right of things.
Right.
Yes, I just
want
to make that point.
You know, but you know, and you had the United States Senate pass in a bipartisan way, an immigration reform bill, but we can't even bring it up for a vote. And I think the reason why he won't bring it up for a vote is because he knows it will pass.
Exactly.
And I think that and if it passes, then I think he enrages, you know, the extreme right wing of the Republican Party, and he's not prepared to do that. And I wish he'd put the country first, but you know, he's I think, you know, worried about you know, the votes come January when his speakership is up for reauthorization.
And so what does that tell us about the representative or representative democracy, that you don't put a vote up if you think it'll pass?
Yeah, I mean, things have changed in a way in Washington that I think is very anti-democratic. I mean, you know, I remember when I was working up here for Joe Moakley, Congressman Joe Moakley,
sure,
and Tip O'Neill was speaker, and, you know, the Reagan tax bill was being proposed, and Tip O'Neill could have easily taken that tax package and put it in the back of his pocket and say, I'm against it. I don't care what the majority of Americans think. I don't care what the president thinks. I'm just not going to bring it up for a vote, and just killed it. But he said, look, the president wanted a vote on this, and you know, he deserves it. And unfortunately, for people like me who were against the tax proposal, it passed with a lot of Democratic support. But Tip O'Neill, you know, who was against it as well, said, I think it's important that Congress be a deliberative body where, you know, the majority, you know, works its will. And it's not the majority of the majority that, you know, counts. It's just the majority. Everybody here, you know, is elected, you know, represents the same number of constituents. We're all elected. You know, we're all supposed to represent our constituents. And so we all should have an equal vote. And this notion that somehow, you know, we can, you know, hold things up and never have debates or votes, that kind of defeats the purpose of having a Congress. This is supposed to be a deliberative body, and it has become less and less so.
Are you waiting for 2016?
Well, look, I mean, I'm hoping that 2016 will be better than 2014, but look, 2 years is a long time.
It is.
And, you know, and there's a lot of things that we need to do. And there are a lot of things that, quite frankly, I'm fearful of with the new Republican majority's increased majority in the House and the new Republican majority in the Senate.
Deval Patrick basically bawled out the Democratic Party for not having any backbone recently. You think he was right?
Well, I think to a certain extent he is. I mean, look, you know, people who campaign for office as Republican light, who are really Democrats, you know, probably don't deserve to win. If you're a Republican and you got a choice between a real Republican and a Republican light, you got to vote for the real thing. So I never thought that as a way to win elections that kind of moving to the right is the way to go. I mean, look, people should have choices in elections, and I don't think the Democrats provided people enough choices. And I think we also made a mistake in not focusing more forcefully on the economy. Instead we, you know, in some of these Senate races, they focused on what they called women's issues, which I think could have better been advocated if they were part of, you know, if they were tied more directly to improving the economy. But, you know, we didn't seem to kind of be in step with what the majority of people across the country were concerned about. They're concerned about their jobs. They're concerned about economic security. They're concerned about being able to retire and afford college education for their kids. And you know, we have some ideas on that. We should have been out there, you know, talking about it. We should have also been boasting about the fact that the economy is getting better.
Mm.
You know, we should have been talking about the fact that the health care reform bill is working.
Jim, when we come back the next time we talk, I want to talk to you about that, whether the Democrats have allowed the Republicans to steal the narrative.
My pleasure.